1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
Good evening. I'm Brother Carpenter, and I'm here to beat the hell out of you. The Brother Carpenter Ministries in Garden Grove, California presents Brother Carpenter, Beating the Hell Out of You, with special cantor Margaret Gray. Good evening, and welcome everyone. I am Brother Carpenter. 22 years ago, in a barroom in St. Louis, Missouri, the Lord visited me. I was laying in a pool of my own urine. I had just, as we said in those days, cadged a $5 bill off of a fellow barmate, and I was on my way over to the cigarette machine when suddenly a bolt of lightning struck me. I lost control of my kidneys and bowels, but as I lay there in a puddle of my own filth, I realized that my eyes were open. No more would my life be one of degeneration and turning away from God. I saw my calling. I am Brother Carpenter, and I will beat the hell out of you. This evening we bring on Sally Jones. Sally is from Baltimore, Maryland. Sally, how are you?
I'm very well, Brother Carpenter, but I'm here as a woman of sin.
I understand that, dear. Don't worry. You lived your life as a prostitute and a drug addict, isn't that correct?
I did. And I gave my children up for adoption when I said, never, never had done that. Never, never had done that.
Sally, God has empowered me to beat living hell out of you. Do you believe that God can come into your life if you allow me to smack you around this room, smack you around with love, rabbit punch you, hit you below the belt, smack you until your face turns white? Do you believe that?
I do with all my heart and all my soul, brother.
Let's pray. That enough?
I want all $300 worth.
Hey, what's that? Looks like the moon. Ooh, wow. Now, this is the solar plexus, Sally. You want it?
All $300.
Now, you want the uppercut, huh? Go in peace, Sally. We'll take a check. John, come on in here, John. Tell me about yourself, John.
Well, brother, I have been a child molester and a murderer of people. I have also been abusive to my wife. I have victimized elderly people and stolen their money. And I also hit and run a man over a man, a drunk one night.
All right, well, sit down. Make yourself comfortable. It's going to be all right. Yeah, how's that feel?
I want all $300 worth, you black.
Go in peace. I'm Brother Carpenter. How does one combine a homicidal rage with a love of our Lord? I found the way. I'm Brother Carpenter. And for $300, I'll beat hell out of you. It's going to be all right. Relax. And now Margaret Gray joins us from our Arrowhead Ministry to sing the song Ave Maria.
Thank you very much, Brother Carpenter. Ave Maria. Yeah. macaboo. La rupiti. What the hell?
Thank you.
Bailey, you're pulling here.
And now we return you to your local programming with one reminder. Just when you think it can't get any worse, I'm there. I'm Brother Carpenter. And this right hand has seen it all. The Brother Carpenter Show, brought to you by Hershey's and the new Flamingo Hotel on the Sunset Strip.
Ave Maria. What is this?
I'm Brother Carpenter. The light is green.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
All right, we have our flashback request coming up in just a moment. And this is a good one, as they all are. Steve Bozell bit. Our number tonight, 1-800-449-8686. Our email address is www.philhendryshow.com. And our blog, the Phil Hendry blog, is georgewbushesgod.com. And our post, the left versus fascism, why we gave up. And I got it up there, and we, of course, are taking comments. And some of the comments actually have something to do with the blog itself, the post, while others, some of them are fantastic. Like, I think Harvey Wireman is already logged in. Lloyd Bonafide is logged in. Guys are threatening each other with skull sex. The usual. It's the usual Phil Hendry fan base meeting and greeting. So that's George W. Bush's is God.com. That's the political blog we have for our radio show. And remember, on our show, remember the watchword, I don't care if I go to jail. Remember that. In all that you do. Two things to make your way in life. One, kick him until he's dead. Two, I don't care if I go to jail. All right, now, and by the way, does anybody know where I can get tickets to the Conan show? You know, we're going to New York next week, and this is the big thing now. This is the big request from the house. Didn't take long, but now it's, now, can you get tickets for Conan? You know, honey, I don't know. I mean, well, come on, your agent is Becca. Let's go. Oh, yeah, I know, but I don't want to butt in and call NBC. Come on, you know people. Okay, I'll call. Now I got to be a pain in the rear end to everybody that I know. Hi, it's Phil Hendry. Can you get me? And then, you know, you got to go through the humiliation of who? Phil Hendry? Okay, I don't. The name doesn't ring a bell. Let me just transfer. You know, hi, can I? It's Phil Hendry. Oh, hi, Phil. You know, really great. Look, I'm going to New York with my family. Can I get tickets to Conan O'Brien? Yeah. Hold on. And then you're hearing, you know,
NBC, with such great classic fare as Fear Factor, Joe Rogan nude from the waist down, and other great,
you know. All right, so now, here's the email from my wife this afternoon. Why don't you go through your agent? We want tickets to Conan O'Brien. We need tickets to Conan O'Brien. I married you for tickets to Conan O'Brien. What is this, some kind of a frame-up? Are you trying to tell me that I walked down the aisle with you 8 years ago, believing that I was marrying a man with some panache, some cachet in the world, only to find out that you can't get four lousy, stinking seats to Conan? And then she weeps, and so I'll try, honey. So, as it stands, this is what I've decided to do. Is there anybody listening who works for Conan O'Brien that could get me into the show and stuff? Because that'd be really neat. Please call and tell me. This shameless begging by Phil Hendry, brought to you by Quaker, the meat people. Time now for our flashback request. Hey, Phil, it says, can you play the bit where Steve Bozell goose eggs a man in a Santa suit? What does he mean? He stuck his finger in his rear, he grabbed a guy's rear end in a Santa suit, thinking it was a woman. Well, no. He thought it was a friend of his, thought it was a guy. Let me start all over again. Phil, could you please play the bit where Steve Bozell goose eggs a man in a Santa suit? Turns out it was a woman, and she turned around to him and called him a perv or something. So he sues her. That bit was very funny. Would you please play that? Thanks, Phil Spencer. Here it is, brother.
I've been listening to you, and I can tell you're very emotional right now. But one thing I think you failed to realize is that you have not taken accountability at all for your actions.
What did I do?
Well,
what did
you grabbed someone between the leg. I mean, between the legs. And, I mean, there's always choices and accountability. You made a choice to grab someone, and accountability was it wasn't the wrong person. You need to take accountability for your actions.
Oh, that's a good point. See, and, how do you know it's the wrong? She had on a beard and everything.
But, sir, you need to take accountability for your emotions, too. If someone chooses to cuss you out, you have a choice. You have a choice to, one, get mad and cry, or you have a choice to say, I'm sorry, I didn't know it was you, and explain yourself, because that person is making the choice to get mad at you. Everyone chooses their own choices. You cannot blame on getting mad on anyone else. You choose to feel the way you feel.
Can I ask you a question?
Go ahead.
Have you been down to see one of them, like, marriage family counselors? Because you talk like one that my wife and I went to one time. She talked about you got to choose. Boy, I thought
that's right.
I thought she was talking about Jews for a minute, you know, and I made a joke, and she was Jewish, and that was a whole other thing.
So you chose to make the joke, and she chose who, I mean, all right.
Well, chose,
to get to, you know,
driving me nuts.
What I'm trying to get to is, you made a choice. Everyone has a choice. I have a choice to go punch my husband, and he has a choice to, you know, get mad at me or whatever. But the thing is, I'm not going to turn around and say, I'm not going to say to him, you made me feel mad and made me punch you. That's ridiculous.
You don't listen to them Tony Robbins tapes, do you?
What has this got to do with anything?
Well, just all talking about choice, choose, you know.
I'm saying the only choice I know is
sirloin choice, you know. And
are you hearing what the lady
is? My point is that you're saying that she is making you feel this way. People are making you have an emotional breakdown. They're making you want to have a drink. I don't think so. You're making yourself feel that way because this is the way that you are dealing with it.
Well, that's not what my attorney told me, so I don't know.
Well, are you really going to listen to your attorney? Do you really think they just want to win a case, or do you really think that's the smartest thing to do? Go get a second opinion. That does not sound reasonable.
The Lord's blessing game is a groundbreaker. Ma'am.
Does that sound logical? Does that sound logical? Any time someone makes us mad, we're going to go sue them?
Well, think about it. Dolores Blazengame is one of the most groundbreaking attorneys. She has developed the concept of diarrhea of the emotions.
Well, can you all see that? It just doesn't sound logical. Or you know how many times I would have diarrhea of emotions when I pulled out and someone chose to flip me off and I'm going to go around and sue them because they're making me have diarrhea of emotions?
No, we're not going to collapse and have an emotional breakdown, but I had a strong flowing of emotion that she said was laxative-like.
Maybe instead of suing someone, if you really had an emotional breakdown, you should be seeing a psychologist or someone to help you.
No, let me ask you a question. I got a question for you. What you're saying is the same thing as saying if Roy's dog came up and peed on my leg, it's my fault for feeling wet. God, I mean, how do you?
No, it would be your fault. It'd be your fault if a dog came and peed on your leg to, one, get mad and kick it, or two, just be like, I got to go change my pants now. It's the choice that you're going to make.
Wait a minute.
Now,
but you're saying it's my fault because I feel wet from a dog pee, from the dog pee.
Well, my point is, why I feel frustrated listening to you is because you do not take accountability whatsoever for your, one, actions, and two, for your emotions.
By the legal definition is, the lady turning around and yelling at me was a pure lax, it was a colon cleanser.
Do you think that maybe, what?
And see, here's the thing. If I walked across your front lawn and I slipped on a pile of dog dew, you're saying it's my fault because I smell. Is that what you're saying?
What I'm saying is, my point I was trying to get to you is that if someone grabbed me between my legs,
yes, ma'am,
most definitely, I'd probably turn around and be like, the hell are you doing? First, that's what I say to them. You know what I mean?
Well, what if I explained to you? What if I did that and then I explained to you, but ma'am, I thought you were a guy.
No, and if you said, I'm sorry, ma'am, I thought you were my friend, oh my gosh, I'm so embarrassed, I'd be like, it's all right, you know, like, I'm embarrassed too. You know, that's what I would do.
Well, what did you say to the lady, Steve? Let me ask you, hey, hold on, Jesse, what did you say to the lady when you grabbed her between the legs?
I said, you're supposed to be Roy Hutchins.
Well, that's not...
But it wasn't, I'm sorry, I'm so embarrassed, and then you want to blame her?
You're supposed to be Roy Hutchins.
It's like if I ordered a pizza and said no onions, and then I took a bite, and there was onions, and then I went to kiss you, it's my fault I got stank breath. See? That's what I'm saying.
Wait a minute, you jackball. If you...
Okay, that's the last time you call me a name like that. Goodbye.
Oh, my gosh.
I called him a jackball. What's so bad about that?
Oh, my gosh. He's unbelievable.
Is the guy a freak?
You can't say anything, or he might have an emotional meltdown. Watch out. You call him a name,
and
he might sue you.
Hold on for a minute. Mr. Bozell, you hung up on me once before.
Yeah, but now you two are talking about me behind my back.
No.
What did
you
do?
Gosh. Are you going to go on and sue me?
What did you
for real.
Say?
Maybe you should grow some balls, maybe the ones you were touching.
So now you're saying that my balls
haven't...
So now you're saying they haven't dropped. All right, thank you very much.
I remember she doesn't know where to drop, but all right. Oh, my gosh, he just frustrates
well,
me.
He's a very well, he's a frustrating kind of a guy.
He needs to be in counseling, for
sir,
real.
Sir, you can't keep calling me back and hanging up.
Now what are you two talking about? Why don't you stop talking?
Because it's my show!
But I hung up and you continue to talk with this lady.
Oh my gosh, I feel really bad for you.
Like, if you told me you were in the mood for romance, and I said, okay, but you and I say you... Well, never mind.
What are you talking about, romance? Romance had nothing to do with...
All right, listen, Jesse, thank you very much for your call, and I'm sorry to have to put you through the insanity.
No. I was just hoping I'd get through to him.
Yeah.
Jesse, it's like if you and I, if you told me you were in the mood for romance, and I said, okay, but I banged my privates on a doorknob. It's my fault that the door was there?
Sir, we're not talking about banging your privates on a doorknob.
Mr. Bozell, I think you've said enough, sir.
Don't you hang up.
There he is, by request. Yeah, that was that definitely best. Well, I don't know if it's best of material. Oh, I'm going to listen to those CDs when I'm in New York, too, because we're going to get our best of CD completed and have it out before this time, Halloween. Really want to do that. And that's a best of request, a flashback request, I should say, from one of our listeners. And you can do that by writing phs@philhenryshow.com, phs@philhenryshow.com. Got a little bit of email to read tonight. Here's one that was kind of interesting. Guy writes, his name is Dave. He says, that chick that was trying to speak Spanish to Bobby Dooley last week, you remember that? Is so full of crap. She tried to amaze everybody with her linguistic ability, but her Spanish sucked mice. For example, she said, yo habla español, which means I speak Spanish. It should be yo hablo español, as I'm sure you know, Mr. Henry. Then he said, but what really made me laugh is when she tried to ask if speaking Spanish makes her Mexican. She asked the question, soy Mexicano, that means I'm a Mexican man. Man, that stupid broad made me laugh. Keep up the good work, Phil. Gringo Dave out. Now, Bobby Dooley is on the line from Western Estates, and you wanted to comment on that, Bobby?
Phil, only to say that the woman...
You remember this lady, right?
Yes, I very much do remember her, because she thought that she was being bilingual. And now I find out from that letter that she was an utter imbecile. Didn't know any Spanish.
Do you know Spanish?
Well, that's not the point. I don't run around trying to impress people with my Spanish. Either I know it or I don't. And the woman that called last week and said, soy Mexicano, and it really means I'm a Mexican man, I hope, whatever her name is and wherever she is, I hope and pray she's listening right now. Because one thing that I love and enjoy very much is revenge. And I want to embarrass her. And I hope right now she's biting her lower lip, grabbing the steering wheel at 10 and 2, you know, looking in her rearview mirror and sort of pulling her knees together as if she's got a bladder full. Because I can tell...
All right, we finally got the letter that you wanted me to read, though.
Yes, absolutely. And I do feel vindicated, and I do thank Dave for that.
All right. Because you had a stinking hunch, and there it is. We're very happy to make you feel better.
And I'd like to just say this to all of our Spanish-speaking listeners. Soy Mexicano, which does mean I'm a Mexican man, but I don't know Spanish, so please read between the lines.
Right, okay.
What?
You just said I'm a Mexican man.
Read between the lines, G-diot.
All right. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. And... that lady was laying a little bit of... she was laying restaurant Spanish on Bobby, which I know that stuff, man. Restaurant Spanish don't mean you're bilingual. It means that you... it means you can order a freaking meal is what it means. Maybe. Yeah, mas tequila, that don't mean anything, man. Other than you're going to probably get that rot gut. You'll get a little bit of that moonshine, and you'll see your intestines coming out the next morning. All right, 1-800-449-8686. So isn't that a very appetizing thought? World famous Phil Henry Show. Will be right back.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Father James McWhorter joins us. As you know, Father James McWhorter is an Irish Catholic priest and cannot speak at all on the radio with us unless he has Irish music playing behind him. Father McWhorter, how are you?
I'm fine, Phil, but this is not Irish music. This is the music that was done by the Gloyd. You put on Gloyd music, son.
The what?
I said this is the music that the Gloid did in Deliverance.
What is this, bud?
It's Irish.
No, it ain't. It's banjo music.
I'd like to know what you're trying to pull here. Is this some kind of a frame-up?
No, it isn't a frame-up. What I'm saying is, hold on, get this off.
Well, it's the only Irish music yet.
Get it off! He can't talk Irish if you got this crap on.
Then I'll tell you now, I will not be put through the humiliation of having to talk to music that's done by a boy who's got a Dumbo head. And I can tell you...
Well, hold on for a minute. Here it is. Here's the Celtic. Forgive me, Father.
What are you doing, your confession?
No, I just said forgive me as in, hold on for a freaking minute here.
Oh, Jesus. Hey, get it off. Get it off, will you?
I'm getting it off. Hold on for a minute. What do you want, David?
What are you guys talking about getting it off for? What is that about?
He's asking me to...
All I know is I've been listening to you talking to some guy about getting it off. Last hour I heard something about getting on a stick. I don't know.
Is this David G. Hall?
Yeah, who's this?
This is Father James McQuarters, David. How are you?
Very good, Father. What's up?
Well, I was to understand the retard that works for Phil. When I come on the program, he put on some Irish music. Instead, he has music that, as you can recognize, is banjo music. And this is the music that was played in the movie Deliverance by a boy with a pan face. Now, I have nothing against the child that slabbers, but I can...
Will you hold on for a minute?
What is this guy talking about?
Hold on, I'll get the music on. Just hold on, everybody. Just shut up for 5 seconds and let me get the Irish music on.
Well, it's too late now. The Gloid music's in the full swing. Yahoo!
Well, you did it now. I'm Father James McCord, and we will have a old-fashioned tent revival. We'll also have a Sunday picnic. And y'all come out, and we'll also have different kinds of things to eat and see, and we'll just dance about with bare feet and overalls. That's at the old Rocky Mountain, Holy Sweet Jesus H. Christ Temple. That's right at the top of Route 7. Right where the road begins to dip down, where the old, you know, remember where the old barn was? Well, that burned down in 71. And now, at the old Sweet Living Jesus Christ Temple, right there at the top of the hill, you can come in and have all of your cares and woes absolutely stripped away from you. I don't care if your sin is incest. I don't care if you made it with livestock. I don't care if you're married to a Coke bottle. Come on in. It's a beautiful thing there at the Sweet Jesus H. Christ Temple, Rocky Top, right there on Route 6.
Oh, thank Christ.
Why can't you wait for the...
There it is. Gloid music's back. Now I got to talk like this.
Well, you just... There's your freaking music.
Where is it?
I guess I didn't put it in.
What a jackass! Did you put it in there or not?
Hold on for a minute. Where is it, bud?
I thought it was right here.
Where is it, bud?
Is
there a... Yeah, there's a CD in there. There's two CDs in there, you freak. That's why the thing ain't playing. You can't put two CDs into one CD player.
Why not? A friend of mine has a CD changer just like that.
That's because he's got two CD changers in the same thing. You don't put two CDs into one thing.
That's not what he said.
Oh, you don't even know what he said. How's this, Father?
Oh, it's much better. Much better. Phil, I'm on the program this evening to announce something that is very profound, and yet it is something that I've thought of for a great long time. Phil, I have spent my life in service to Jesus and the Roman Catholic faith. But there comes a time when one recognizes that perhaps one's efforts have been misguided. Because of the misdeeds of the Christian faith and its missionary work, there's a great many sand jockeys. Well, I don't mean to say sand jockey, but you know the zipperheads and all. We took the religion, Phil, and we mocked it. We mocked it by bringing Christianity to them. But here, I'll tell you now. I've decided to convert to Islam.
And Islam?
That's right. I will now be known as Muhammad McCorder. And I'll be a 127-pound lightweight. And, oh, Jesus, the backpack. I forgot to disarm the... Now, I'm dead.
Father?
Yes.
Are you dead?
Yes, I am.
All right, Father, now that you're dead, there's no going back. You just converted to Islam.
Well,
Lucky, lucky, lucky me, me, me.
Why do you figure you're lucky?
Because, right ahead of me, seven virgins. Sweet, sweet, mother of God, God, God.
There's seven virgins?
Well, who cares if they're virgins or not? All right, girls, who's first? Let's get a batting order. Let's go.
All right, get him out of here, the dead freak.
You call a priest a dead freak.
Yeah, that's right. Let's get a batting order. Well, there's Father McCorders. He's a Muslim. And now he's up there with the seven virgins, and who cares if they're virgins or not? Well, I got to say, bud, not that I, you know, would ever indulge, but it does make sense, doesn't it?
What?
Well, who cares if they are virgins or not?
What a douche.
Sorry. 1-800-449-8686, the world famous I'm a douche, huh? 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686, the Phil Hendry Show is back.
Let's get to Bob Bakian with this news, breaking news report. Bob?
Phil, the information we've got right now is you probably heard them flying directly over the Scripps Institute in Southern California. They've gotten the information from North Korea, and that is that the first cloning of a dog has been completed in North Korea, and you probably heard that news today, Phil. We are reporting on the news that the scientists in North Korea and South Korea made history by being the first men to ever successfully clone a dog.
What's the significance of that?
Well, the significance, I think, Phil, is it's a higher intelligence form than the sheep or animals such as that, and so the inevitable escalation, I would think, in terms of science is to attempt to eventually clone a higher intelligent being, perhaps some sort of primate, eventually leading to the cloning of human beings. There's no question that that's where this is leading, and this is a very, very significant information that we have achieved today here, that the North Koreans and South Koreans independently have cloned a dog.
Now, do we have the names of the scientists involved?
We do, Phil. The news is the South Korean scientist involved is Wang Hoo Suk. I'm sorry, it's...
What is it?
Hold on. It's Suk Yu. No, it's the science, our website. Well, you can go to the website, you suck, Wang. Suk Wang Suk. I'm trying to... Hold on, Phil.
What is it? What do you mean, Suk?
Hold on for a minute.
David.
Hey, what, get him under control, will you?
I got him under control. Don't worry about it.
It's the South Korean scientist who's with Suk Me. No. Swinging Wang. No. And so,
will you come on?
Get this guy under control. I'm telling you, his life is in your hands.
Just tell me the name of the scientist. Read it as it's written.
I'm reading it as it's written, and it says, you suck. Thanks a lot. I'm not sticking around for this jackass. Give him one more, bud.
You got it, Mr. Valve.
You just killed a man.
What?
You just killed a man.
Yeah, want to see it happen again? Another one, bud.
Right away.
How do you like that?
You kill a man because he can't pronounce some Korean's name?
That's right. That's how important the FCC and them coming down on me and you is. You suck, Wang. That's really some kind of... Give him a... You know what? Even though he's dead, kill him again, bud.
There you go.
I hate that bastard. I always have hated him ever since he came on your program with his shtick. That's the end of him. That's the end of Bob Bakian. I don't ever want to hear him again as long as I live. Bob Bakian, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
1-800-449-8686. And now more. On the Phil Hendry Show.
I think I'm okay, though.
No, I think I can help you with the tickets to Conan O'Brien, is what I'm saying. But I think you need to introduce yourself to a few people.
I don't need your help, okay? I'll do fine. I got a gentleman, a very nice gentleman, who just called us.
Who is that?
A gentleman who said he might be able to help us.
Well, I don't understand. I'm telling you that in order to get tickets, you realize Conan O'Brien's a hot ticket.
Yes, I know it's a hot ticket. I know it's a very hot ticket. And I also know that you need 4 weeks...
You need 4 weeks advance notice, yes, to get into that program. So who do you think you're calling? Who, I don't understand.
A very nice Townsend Coleman.
Who? I don't even
know. He's a gentleman that does a lot of voice work over at NBC. He's going to help us out.
Excuse me, but I am offering you my assistance, but you have to introduce yourself to some people. You have to begin, Phil, I think, to walk the walk a little bit, to polish yourself a little bit, to round off the... What do you mean, Townsend Coleman? Are you for real?
I'm telling you that this cat is a legitimate dude. He's just another voice guy out there in the wilderness trying to help another schmuck out. You know, that's all.
You know, you really got to quit rubbing elbows filled with the unwashed if you really want to climb the ladder. Now, I've put in a call. I didn't want to have to do it. I've put in a call to Rob Barnett, and I'll see what I can do. And
who's Rob? You mean Rob Burnett?
Rob Burnett, yes. And I was thinking of Dick Barnett, who was the old guard for the New York Knicks.
Yeah, that's right. That's what I would immediately think of, Rob Burnett and Dick Barnett, a black guy who played guard for the Knicks in the 60s.
You know, Phil, if you really want to get somewhere, Townsend Coleman, you have got to be yanking me. You've got to be yanking my third leg.
Huh?
Here, Frank, talk to him.
Well, I don't want to talk to the retard.
Frank.
How are you, young man?
I'm fine, but the point that I'm making here...
Who are you talking to at NBC? I know everybody in this town. I know everybody in this town. Do you understand?
I know that, sir.
Then why don't you come to me? Why do you fool around? Who were you calling?
I didn't call. Townsend Coleman called us.
Who's she?
Here we go. It's a he, and...
Well, who is she? I've never heard of her.
He is a voice guy for NBC.
Has she done a lot of work?
He's done a lot of work, yeah.
All right. Well, I don't know who she is, but I can get Conan's people on this. I spoke with Conan myself a couple of weeks ago. She was very gracious, said she'd do what she could do, anything that she could do for me. She's a wonderful young man and very, very talented young man, too. Have you ever seen her?
Yes, I have.
Yeah. And also, Phil, I want to tell you something else. When you get to New York, I want you to look up a lady by the name of Bob Shaw. What are you laughing at?
Hold on for a minute. Let me talk to Margaret.
He wants to talk. What's wrong?
It's driving me nuts with this whole gender thing.
Well, Phil, you were talking to me, weren't you?
Yes, I was, but I don't want to listen to you tell me how I got to round off the rough edges. And are you for real? Because I'm talking to a cat named Townsend Coleman.
Well, I've never heard of him, and neither has Frank.
I'm sorry. I have. A lot of guys in the business have.
Here, he wants to talk to you.
All right, have you got a pen and paper?
I'm on the air right now.
All right, this won't take a long time. Write down this name. Her name is Bob Shaw, and you can find her at Gold's Gym.
Uh-huh.
Now, she runs, she is probably one of the top weightlifters in New York City. She has won the senior division and the light heavy division. She is built like you wouldn't believe. Big, thick legs, big, wide chest. She does a lot of iron pumping, and she just got married to a beautiful, beautiful guy by the name of Brenda. And
all right, man, I got to go.
What's the matter? You don't like marriage?
No, just the way you describe it.
Well, you got to see the guy that she married, because he is something. Huge breasts.
Okay. Frank Gray with us here on the Phil Hendry Show. Forget it, man. I don't need to be freaking... I'll do whatever I got to do. I'll tell you what I'm doing when I get to New York. I'm going over to McSorley's Tavern. I'm going to stand in line like a freaking tourista, and I'm going to sit there and drink cerveza. So what do you think of that? That's right. I'm going over there to East 7th Street. See, what I want to do is this. I just want you guys go do whatever the hell you want to do. I want to go down, and I want to tip a couple, and I'll walk back to the hotel. I don't need a cab, and I don't need, you know, just I'll walk. I'll stumble on up back to the hotel. It's 7th Street. And so we'll be around 50th. So that's only 43 blocks. And what this McSorley's is the oldest tavern, my good friend Mr. Newman assures me it's the oldest tavern in New York, 1854. Now, they had pubs before that. What did they do, all burn down? They must all burn down. You know, there's a place, if you saw that movie Gangs of New York, if you look at that movie, there's not a lot about that movie that was factual, but there's a couple of things they got right. One of them is the old brewery, which eventually became a mission, and that was in Five Points of New York. Now, the old brewery was a a brewery that the Germans built there in the late 18th century and early 19th century, and it fell into disrepair and eventually became sort of a flop house for all of these muggers and thieves and scumbags that lived in New York at the time. It was a huge brewery there right in the Five Points. So I guess everything burned to the freaking ground, and then this guy McSorley opens this joint up in 1854, and it's been running pretty strong ever since. And you got to stand in line to get in, and if you stop drinking, they throw you out. Oh, God, do I got to go to a place like that. Oh, God. Finally, a place that is I can be comfortable in. Because you could just, you see them grabbing old ladies by the arm. Get out.
Well, wait a minute. I've got to
get out. All right, 1-800-449-8686, world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.